Another side to good health, and that's good mental health.
What was the
Bulberry?
I was just gonna say Bohangles. Do you know Bojangles?
Yeah.
I've never been there before.
Really?
What is it? The Bowberry biscuits? What does that even mean?
I've only been there once. I live up north. They don't have it.
Where do you live at?
Pennsylvania.
Oh no way. Where at?
Bethlehem, like Lehigh Valley.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice.
Bethlehem, PA, home of I believe that's where Andy Reid lives, Coach Andy Reid.
Oh, wow.
Formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Bethlehem is also where, famously, the Philadelphia Eagles do their training camp.
Yep.
Right.
And everyone thinks they practice in Philly for training camp. But no, Bethlehem is a poke from Philly.
I think they do it at Lehigh University.
Have you ever been there? Have you seen it in person?
I went there when I was like probably eight, maybe.
Yeah. Like we all do. Yeah. At some point.
Yeah. How often do you travel for golf, for tournaments? You're on the road all the time?
In the summer, every week. Now, not much now, maybe like once or twice a month, but
yeah
summer, sometimes in the summer I can play some more events closer to home though.
Have you gotten used to life on the road in a way?
I'm really used to it. It almost feels weird when I'm just at home for a little bit, but I've done a lot.
What's the, I guess if you could like take us through a normal travel weekend. Like, how do you find comfort when you're on the road and you got other stuff going on back home?
Some of it comes just from eating like food almost.
Totally.
I don't know. It's just.
I'm here for that. Because sometimes when you're doing a lot physically, you keep throwing logs in the fire, keep you going.
Yeah.
I get that.
And
food is definitely a comfort.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't know, like eating some of the stuff that you'll eat back home, you almost feel like you're at home a little bit. And then just like keep some of the same habits that you have at home doing here.
What's some of your comfort food?
Chick-fil-A.
Yes. You go sandwich or nuggets?
Switch it up.
Okay.
Is a boneless chicken wing just a chicken nugget?
No.
No?
Boneless wing. Boneless wings.
He said, put some respect on boneless wings.
Oh, that thing came from a bird. That's still a wing.
It's right, not a nugget. Right. Do you have any other sort of routines, habits that you like to incorporate into travel that kind of ground you, that bring you back to like that steady state outside of food, right? Because like food is like that thing, like, okay, I can rely on food. Like,
yeah,
I have some in my belly. Like, I'm going to be okay. Like, I can go perform. Then let's say you get back to the hotel. What's like the go-to?
I mean, usually I'm really just taking a shower, going to sleep,
to be honest. Yeah,
I mean, sometimes it's just relaxing, really.
I guess when you're psyching yourself up for a tournament, what does that look like for you? When you approach a new weekend, a new tournament weekend?
A lot of research on the course, like here. I've never played this course before, so I usually would look at previous tournaments played here, but they never played at this course. They always played the lake, so couldn't look at those scores. But I was on this app looking at the course, talked to a few people here that have played this course before, and just get a lot of info on it, so I know what I'm going into.
Right. Have you gotten to the point where you're like, different parts of the country suit my game better?
Yeah, in a way. I feel like just being back at home would suit my game better, but I think that might just be because I'm used to it.
Yeah.
I don't like playing in like Florida much, just because there's like a lot of water usually on those courses.
Gators. You know,
I like to hit it far, and usually it'll go a little sideways if you're trying to hit it far, so... Yeah, I definitely don't like courses with too much water, but like I've found courses out west usually have a lot of room, and back home it's usually just trees, so like I'll find a way there.
What's your home course like?
My home course is Northampton Country Club. Definitely a lot of trees there. They've been cutting them down a bit, but you can definitely spray it left and right a good amount. So I mean, I feel like sometimes it's not a good thing because you want to practice in tougher conditions, that you come out here and you're like ready to go, because this course is definitely a lot tighter than any of the courses I'm used to. So it's a big change coming to this.
And what's like the vibe at your home course? What is it? how does it make you feel when you roll up and, you know, you see familiar faces, mm-hmm. you're seeing the same golf course that you've been playing at for a long time, presumably. What's like the atmosphere there?
It's definitely like comfortable. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people there. I know like where I'm going, everything. I'm used to being there. They got some good food there that I've gotten used to. It's a nice place to be. They keep it really nice there, so I like it.
Is that the course where Earl first reached out to you?
No. I met Olajuwon back last year in May at Sawgrass. And then I think it was sometime maybe in that summer that he reached out to me there.
Okay. So the Northeast Pennsylvania Philly connection wasn't even the thing. It was Olajuwon actually that got to you. Okay. Yeah. What was that interaction like?
It was nice. He's a really nice guy, and he was giving me some tips about the course and golf in general, just helped me out.
Yeah. That's important, you know. There are a lot of times where I think back to like my younger days when I was playing, wish I had someone that could kind of throw the arm on my shoulder and kind of, you know, shepherd me through not even just like advice on playing, but like literally how to navigate the world of golf. So I think that's incredibly important. I want to touch on that. And it's great that you got the cosign from them, because that can go so far, not only just from a cosign standpoint, just for the sake of it, but like support, you know, here's my phone number, reach out if you need anything. Yeah. And that's super special. So I want to, you know, give you your flowers there. Like you've proven that, you know, you are worthy of that cosign, that support, that tailwind. And I mean, like so many of us in the space talk about, you know, like it's a very small circle of us that are playing at a high level, or certainly for you, I can't speak for myself. but you know, on the, you know, AJGA circuit, for example. So I think it's incredibly important and special and should be touched on that, you know, Eastside reached out, gave you that cosign and now talk about, you know, your committal to Temple. Like, that's home. That's going to be a home game for you.
Yeah.
We committed, me and my twin brother Michael, we both committed to Temple. I think it was in August. We've been talking to coach for a bit. We played a tournament there for high school 2 or 3 years ago. And we first met the coach then, and then we just kept in touch, kept reaching out to him, and he would talk to us. And then we came to an agreement last August, and then I signed in November. And I'll be heading there after this summer to start freshman year.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's huge. Signing day. Can you take us through that? What you were feeling when you put pen to paper and said, I'm going to Temple next year?
Yeah. It's almost shocking. Like it really makes you realize like what's happening, like the big step that you're taking, like committing, like actually going to school at Temple now. And it just shows you like how far you've gotten almost, because I mean, like, I can remember like when I wasn't even able to talk to a coach, like I think it's before sophomore year, and from there to now it just feels like a big step.
Yeah. You said you looked back on your progress as an accomplishment. Is there any forward looking on that day? Is it excitement? Is it nerves? Oh my God, I have a lot of pressure on my shoulders now. Any of that?
Definitely a lot of pressure. I've felt pressure for a long time, but so it's something that I've learned to deal with, but it's a lot of excitement looking forward to what's in the future.
Well, let's unpack that. Like, what when you talk about pressure, how does that manifest for you in your body even? Like, where do you feel pressure when we're talking about golf?
Really just in my head. I mean, you hear a lot of stuff, and people have a lot of expectations for you. Sometimes you have to shut them out, but sometimes they really help you to show you where you can be and what goals you can achieve.
Do you have a process for shutting them out? Stepping up to the first tee, are you thinking like one shot at a time? Or are you thinking big picture, like I'm trying to shoot a 72 today? Like, is it like that for you? Or
stepping up to the tee, it's definitely one shot at a time. you can't think too far ahead in golf because it's just, it's not going to happen how you plan it. No matter how deep you go into it, there's going to be shots that don't go where you expect them to. So definitely taking one shot at a time, a lot of focus on what you're trying to do, because right when that focus goes away, things don't go the right way.
That's true. You have a way to draw that focus back in if it ever does go out?
Yeah, I can usually, if I hit a shot, I know if I was focused or not. So I usually say to myself, like, come on, wake up or something.
Just quoting them little baby lyrics. Yeah. Hey, man, I got to bring it back in.
Yeah, just something to make sure that I know what I'm, that I know I can lock back in and focus for the next shot.
We talked about support. I mean, you mentioned it with Eastside, like that's an incredible cosign. That's a stamp. What other forms of support do you have in your life right now that you look on and are thankful for?
There's a lot. I mean, just starting with my family, you know, they've just done so much for me, making everything possible for me.
Yeah.
And you have like sponsors helping me, giving me equipment and stuff, keeping me going, being able to play in tournaments, really. And then you have like Will has helped us a lot with the Underrated Tour. Just a lot of opportunity there. Showcase your skills. I mean, 4 tournaments for the summer and then another one, major championship at the end of it. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's a lot of people out there looking out for me and giving me chances.
That's beautiful.
Should we have some meat and potatoes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go for it.
All right. What are some of your favorite golf smells?
I'm going to say the food after the round. I tend to get hungry during the round. So at my home course, I know I'll step on I'll be in the middle of the 17th hole. I can smell the food from the clubhouse. So
yeah.
That definitely gives me something to keep pushing forward to.
It's a beacon. It's a guiding light.
Yeah. Fresh lawn smells pretty good too. Just knowing that they cut the course and took care of it before you get out there. Yeah.
I've never heard that framing before. That
we get fresh to answer cut fresh cut grass a lot, but
connected to care is a really beautiful thing. Yeah. That's really special. That's a sweet acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shows like actual gratitude for even being there. Mm-hmm. And like that can't be overlooked. We had to pull on that thread real quick. Yeah,
that's lovely.
Can you think of a time on the course where you've laughed the absolute hardest?
It's probably just around. I'm playing with my friends. Oh man, there's a lot. One I can think of. We were playing this little game, and this one kid, he like doubled down on the hole. Hit one out of bounds, and then he decided to double again and hit it out of bounds again. So we were all just laughing. Next one went in the water. Just a lot of stuff happened.
Do you have a, like, when you think about that group, that round, are they kind of your golf circle?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We grew up playing at a Bethlehem Golf Club. I played with, there's a bunch of people, but you got the Barkers, Jace, Jordan, and Jimmy, and then you got my friend Zach Uhas. He's playing on the APGA Tour right now. My brother Michael, obviously, and then these other two kids, Jake Haberstump and John Kiba, and we were always playing there.
Wow.
Love that.
Just touching on your brother Michael, what does it feel like to be kind of sharing your journey with him, with a twin, going to the same college in the future as well? Like, I imagine the synergy is very strong with you two, but can you describe that?
It definitely helps a lot because I'm a very competitive person. Yeah. So it's nice always having that person there that you can battle it out with. And it also helps you improve because you can feed off of each other and you keep each other pushing the right direction.
Yeah. We ask this to all of our guests who are admittedly typically much older than you. So this will be interesting, but I'm curious if you had the opportunity to play a round of golf with a younger version of yourself, maybe the the age you were when you first started playing tournaments competitively. Mm-hmm. If you had an opportunity to play a round of golf with that version of Matt, like, what would the conversation look like? What do you think you would walk down the fairways talking about in between shots?
Definitely advice on how to play tournaments, getting in the right mindset and how to prepare for a tournament. And then also just like advice in life in general, like especially school. Definitely somewhere you want to focus and do as good as you can. Give yourself more opportunities in life.
That same image that you have of yourself, whoever you're talking to in that moment, what would that version of yourself be listening to if you were walking up to the first tee, hitting a tee shot? Like, if you got to pick that song for this walk up at the Will Lowry Jr. Classic, what would be that song? What are we talking, like 2012, 2013?
Yeah, like 2012, 2013. I don't even know. Probably Bruno Mars, actually. That's probably it.
Okay.
Bruno
Mars. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'm here for Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Sure.
That's a talented little man. That's a talented little man right there.
All right, let's say you perform at your best this week and you win the AJGA Will Lowry Jr. Golf Championship. They invite you back next year and host a champions dinner in your honor. What's on the menu at your champions dinner?
I'm going to go with mac and cheese and steak.
Strong.
Probably my favorite thing to eat. For appetizer, maybe like a crab bisque.
Ooh, nice.
Dessert. I think cheesecake or maybe some like ice cream or something.
Cool.
Yeah. We're pulling up.
Yeah.
I'm pulling we'll up be there. That. I'm pulling up.
We'll be there next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to will that into existence. Yeah.
That's all for me, man. This has been.
Yeah. I mean, can we get a final word from you on, I guess, what it's like to be here in North Carolina representing not only Eastside, but underrated Temple, Will Lowry, AJGA, you have a lot of logos in your corner right now. You know what I mean? And this tournament, it feels from the outside looking in or sort of half on the inside looking around, this seems to be a perfect culmination of like your golf experience. I'm curious what all that means to you and how it feels for you to be out here.
It's inspiring and motivating, you know, seeing like how many people are there to like push for you and try to give you the chance and like allow you to just show who you are and try and succeed from there.
I love it.
Man, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
This was great.
You're in a rain delay right now. I mean, you got to go back out there and play some golf. So we just did a rude thing.
I appreciate you giving us some time, man. Get some food before you head back out there.